to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14 is just full of rich material, and we're just picking out one thing here this morning. And we read concerning the feeding of the 5,000. We find the beheading of John the Baptist. We find so many things in this one chapter. Hasn't been too long ago. We were in Mark, I believe it was Mark chapter 6. We dealt with the feeding of the 5,000. We're doing, I guess it has turned into a series. I didn't really plan on doing this many messages. But we've been dealing for some time, for different weeks, on some places where Jesus is needed or was needed. And certainly he is needed today in those same places and predicaments that people find themselves in continually. And this morning, as we read in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22 on down through verse 33, we'll find that is the account of Peter walking on the water. And we'll deal this morning with that subject, that Jesus is needed when my faith fails. We've seen he was needed at the well. The woman at the well had a need, great need, that she needed the Lord. We found that another place where Jesus was needed in the storm. He was needed in the hog pen. He was needed at the very control of my ship and the things that I do. And last week or so, the feeding of the 5,000, he certainly is needed when we're hungry. He can supply our every need. And now this morning, he's needed when my faith falters and fails. I believe we can all identify with that, because there's not a one of us in here that our faith at some time, some point in our life, that has not failed. We have faltered. We've become weak in the things of the Lord. And I'm glad the Lord is there when I need him, and he can take care of every need. So let's look here in verse number 22 of Matthew chapter number 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship and to go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitude away. Now that's that multitude that they have just fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples are going to make a trip to the other side of the Lake of Sea of Galilee. And he is there taking care of the multitude. Verse number 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Here we find this account of Jesus sending the disciples away to go to the other side of the sea. And that was the will of God for them. He tells them, "You go to the other side, and I'll take care of the multitude." That was the will that he had for them. But as soon as when they got out into the midst of the sea, they go out and the winds become contrary. The winds on the Sea of Galilee can rise up very quickly and very rapidly, and the calm sea can become very boisterous and have a lot of problems for the mariners. And as they crossed the sea, there was a storm that comes up, and the waves were contrary and the wind was contrary, and that was in the and on the fourth watch of the night, they see this figure coming toward them. Now, if you study the fourth watch, that is about 3 o'clock in the morning. So the night is far spent. Midnight's over. The Bible tells us here that Jesus was there with them until the evening. He goes to the mountain to pray, and he's there alone. And while he is there praying, they are out in the midst of the sea. Now remember, that's the will of God for them. He has told them to go to the other side, and so that's the will of the Lord for the disciples to go to the other side. Anytime God gives you a directive and gives you something to do, you can be assured that the wind is going to be contrary. You can be assured that there's going to be a problem that arises. There's always opposition to the will of God. We saw the video a while ago of Brother Luke Shelby and his family. I guarantee you, in those 16 years they've been in the land of Kenya, Africa, I guarantee you there's been much opposition. There's been many problems, but the will of God was for them to go there and to preach the gospel and to establish those churches and to see people saved, that we saw the pictures of those that had trusted the Lord. That's the will of God. But in that will, there is an opposition that comes. But I'm glad, thank the Lord, when opposition comes, the Lord is also there to help us out in that particular time. And so these verses here tell us some things about the troubles, the struggles that the disciples were having, and the persistence of the wind against them. If we should go around the auditorium this morning, we could probably find that there are some of us in here that the winds are contrary against us. There are maybe some problems that have come up in our lives. There are some difficulties that have arisen, and that's sometimes opposition from the devil. That sometimes is that he comes against us to defeat us and to tear us down, to slow us down, and even to destroy our personal walk with the Lord. And so there is always those contrary winds. There are always those struggles and those battles. Being a Christian is not always easy. Being a Christian is not always fun. But being a Christian is always great. And the end result of it is far better than what the world has to offer to us. But in the meantime of going from earth to glory, there's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of turmoil. There's things that we must deal with. But as a child of God, we have one that walks with us. We have one that helps us. We have one that is a go with us, and he'll take care of us. And sometimes he even has to pick us up and carry us because we become weak and weary and well-doing. And so here we find these disciples are going to the other side in the will of God, and their ship is out in the middle of the sea, and it's being tossed about with the waves. The wind is rushing. The wind is pushing them. And in the fourth watch, Jesus knows when to come to them. And they look, and they say, the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled. Well, if I was out on the sea and there's in a storm, and I saw someone walking on the, I'd probably be troubled too. There'd be a lot of questions. What is that? And they surmised that it's a spirit. They said this is not a real thing. It's something that is a spirit being. But then the Lord speaks to them and he tells them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." I'm glad in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our problems, I'm so glad that the Lord can speak to us and can tell us we do not have to be afraid. We do not have to fear. We do not have to have all that bombarding us and throwing up our hands. And I know that's the human response. That's the natural response. When the storm comes, then we struggle. As long as everything's going good, we say, "Praise the Lord." But sometimes difficulties arise to us, and we're like these disciples, and we have fear in our heart of not knowing what's around the corner, not knowing what's going to take place. How's this going to work out? But my goodness, it's so great when the Lord speaks to our heart and makes us know that everything is all right. And be not afraid. Be of good cheer. To have joy in your heart, because he's the one that's coming toward us. He's the one that, he's not a spirit, he's a person. And he's coming to us, and he can help us. Now, in verses number 24 down through verse number 28, we see and we notice Peter's faith. Peter is that leader of the disciples. Anytime you speak of the 12 disciples, the first one you mention most of the time is Peter. There's that inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And Peter is usually the one that we mention first, because Peter was that boisterous one. He was that one that literally, I don't believe, was afraid of anything or anybody. I think he had a rod of for a backbone, and he was willing to make statements that those other disciples would not make. Sometimes he made haphazard remarks. Sometimes he made wrong remarks, but at least he was willing to say, this is what I say. And so Peter here, they have all wondered, who is that walking? What is that walking toward us? And they all hear the Lord say, it is I. They all hear the voice of the Master. Now, this is not some spirit being. This is Jesus Christ. And they have just been with him, and he's blessed the five loaves and the two fish. They've put out all that food. The disciples during that time, they say, Lord, Mark tells us, I believe it was Andrew, he said, we only have 200 penny worth. That's just a little amount of money. What is that among all these people? And so the disciples, they always looked at it from the human standpoint, because they were human, just like you and I. And sometimes we get frail. Sometimes we have our problems because we are human. We are not perfect, and there are difficulties that come to us. And so these disciples, they all heard him say, it is I, be not afraid, be of good cheer. Now we notice when the Lord speaks to them, the one that answers. And Peter answered him and said, Peter's the one, he stands there in the ship that's being tossed by the waves. Maybe the water's coming over the side of the ship. The wind is contrary. They hear the Lord say, it is I, be of good cheer. You don't have to be afraid. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, you bid me to come out there to you. Now, Peter had the voice, Peter had the faith, and you'll notice here that when Peter does that, he said, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Verse 29, he hears one word, come. One word the Lord says to him. He says, come. What an invitation. Here is Jesus walking on the water, literally. He wasn't walking on stones, as some of the liberals and the modernists try to tell. He was walking on water. Just what the Scripture says. Well, that's impossible. That's humanly impossible. I know it is, but not when God's in it. And Jesus Christ was man, he was human, but he was God all the time, all through eternity. And so what is impossible to us is very possible with our God. And so Jesus is walking to them, and Peter says, well, if it's you, Lord, you tell me to come, I'll come to you. And Peter hears one word. Here the invitation is given to Peter, just simply come. You know, by the way, the Lord still gives that same invitation today. He still says, come. He says, come unto me, all you that weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. They should be as wool. And though all those things are the, he just simply says, come. I heard that one day. You as a believer, you heard that one day. And as a Christian, we can go back to that time and that place and that surrounding around us, and we can realize that one day I answered that invitation and I came. Thank God he saved me because I came to him. Now, Peter heard that invitation, and Peter went. Now, he didn't go there to be saved. Peter already was a child of God. But he came at the call and the command of his Lord. Now, there were some impediments, there were some obstructions, there were some problems maybe of all those other disciples. Why didn't they all say that? Why didn't they all say, well, I'll go with you, Peter? Now, they didn't do that because there were some things maybe that was struggling in their heart. They had the comfort of the ship. Even though it was tossed to and fro, they were floating on top of the water. They weren't about to go out into the water. You notice Peter said, Lord, you bid me to come on the water. And Peter had the faith that God, his master, the Lord Jesus Christ, if Jesus could walk on the water, he could make Peter walk on the water. And he believed that. Thank God for the faith of Peter. Too many times we deal with his failure. We will here in a moment. But he had faith, more faith than the other disciples that were in the boat. The invitation was given. The comfort of the ship maybe detoured the others. And sometimes we have to step over our comforts. Every one of us in here this morning, me included, all of us, we all have our comfort zone. We all have that area where we are very comfortable and we feel very safe and we have everything just the way we want it. That's what we call our comfort zone. But sometimes the Lord says, get out of that and come to where I am. Sometimes he wants us to get out of our comfort area, and that comfort sometimes is an impediment or is a struggle for us to do that. Some of the one of the missionaries that we had not too long ago talked about had to get out of the comfort zone and just do what the Lord said. And so sometimes we have to step out of over our comforts, and sometimes we have to step over and out of our company that's around us. Sometimes those that's around us say, it'll be okay where we are. You don't have to do that. Well, we can serve the Lord just as well here as some other way. That's impediment. That's that struggle that goes on. Well, we can do as well here as we can in the house of the Lord when the Lord says that we are to be in his house on his day. So we step over our comforts. We step over our companies around us. We even sometimes must step over our carnality, that flesh part of us that wants to draw back and do the same old thing all the time, that carnality. Carnality says, that's real. And Peter showed a little bit of his carnality there. He said, Lord, if that be thou. He had that question there. That's that carnal flesh that says, can it really be Jesus coming? If it be thou, then you bid me to come, and I'll come to you. And sometimes we have to step over, and carnality won't recognize the voice of the Lord. Carnality will say it's a spirit. Carnality will be afraid. Carnality will have a fear in our hearts and draw back, keep us from serving God. But notice here the intention that Peter had in verse number 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. When he came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I believe that is just as literally, that literally happened as much as I believe I see these lights this morning. It's a miracle that the Lord performed in his earthly ministry on this man, with this man, Peter. His intention was, I'm going to go to where Jesus is. He goes out of the ship. I like to picture things in my mind. Sometimes I'm sure I'm way off. But we all have that imaginary mind, imagination. I don't know how big the ship was. It wasn't real large. But I can just see Peter getting down out of the boat. And he makes that first initial step into the water. I'm not sure that it didn't shock him. It would have shocked me. But Peter had enough faith. He said, Lord, if it's you, if you bid me, if you tell me to come, I'll come to you. That takes faith. If the Lord tells you to do something, might not be walking on water. Might be something a whole lot easier than that. Are we willing just to say, if you tell me, dear Lord, I'll do it. Lord, if you tell me, I'll follow your direction. And he had every intention, I believe, in the world of coming to the Lord. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me, I'll come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. His intention was to get to wherever the Lord was. Now, how far was the Lord out there? I don't have any idea. No reason to even surmise, because the Scripture does not tell us. How long did Peter walk on the water? I have no idea. The Scripture does not tell us. And so there's no reason to just speculate. But he got out of the ship and he walked on the water with every intention to go to where the Lord was. I don't know how far he got. He might have got 3 or 4 feet. I sort of think a little farther than that. I do know that when he began to sink, the Lord was right there. Now, I don't know if the Lord did the initiation of getting to where Peter was, or if Peter was where the Lord was and he was there. The Bible doesn't tell us. But Peter walked on the water, and he had great faith in showing that. Now, just as Peter had great faith, we notice his failure. And before we get on Peter too hard, let's look in a mirror. That's all we have to do. You don't have to tell me your failures. I don't have to tell you my failures. But I can look in a mirror and I know I'm a failure. There are certain areas in our lives that we are failures. We're not all on top of the mountain all the time. There are times that we're in the valley. And Peter, I believe, was on a mountaintop when he said, Lord, I'll come to you. And the Lord just simply said, come. Peter, by faith, I can see him crawl over the side of that ship. I sort of picture it as he just lets go and he jumps in the water. And he don't disappear. He's on the water. And he begins to make his trip toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we deal a whole lot and we talk, and I've heard a whole lot more sermons on Peter's failure than I have his faith. But I'll tell you what, Peter had more faith than those others in the boat. He got out. They stayed in their comfort zone. They stayed with their company. They stayed with their carnality. Peter got out of the boat. Peter got out of the ship, and Peter walked on the water just simply because the Lord told him to come. And when he gets out there, some things begin to happen in his heart and his mind. Before we criticize him too hard, think of the great thing that he did. Notice here in verse 30. Now, the Bible, again, as I said, doesn't tell us how long or how far. So he's comes out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, I have to remember, the Lord just told them, be not afraid. He's already heard the voice, it is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. But when Peter got out there surprising himself, Can you imagine how Peter must have felt? Here I am walking on the water. I think it shocked him. He's a human like you and I. We see the humanity of Peter, and every time he does something. And here he is walking on the water, and all of a sudden, he sees all these waves around him, and he's not sinking. All of a sudden, he feels the air, the wind hit him in the face. Ever been out? If you go out 2 or 3 days ago, you could be out in it real good. You could feel the wind. You could see the wind hitting you. You could feel it, and you could feel the rain falling, and you could feel the results of that. And so here Peter is, and all of a sudden he sees the the problems around him. And I'll tell you what, so many times in my life and your life, it's always the opposition. It's always the problems. It's always the difficulties that gets our eyes off of Jesus Christ, and we begin to falter. Peter's no different than I am. I've said it 100 times, Peter's my favorite disciple because he's just like me. I guess I need to say I'm sort of like him. Peter is that one that is not afraid to get out of the boat, but then he fails. There's been times we do things and then we fail, and the devil comes along and says, boy, you sure made a mess of things then. All you got to remember, if you're doing what the Lord said, there's opposition. They were opposed by the wind. Now Peter sees this and he begins to sink. You know what happened? His focus was shifted off the Lord onto circumstances. His focus was now not on that one out there that he's going to, but he sees what's around him. He feels what's taking place. And he has fear in his heart. His focus is shifted, so therefore a sudden fear comes upon him, even though he knew the Lord was out there. Even though he knew the Lord had said, come, he's fearful now. I've got myself in a mess. You ever been there? Sure we have. I sure made a mistake doing this. All of a sudden we focus on the problems instead of on the Lord. And a sudden fear comes upon us. Our focus is shifted. Our fear comes upon us suddenly. And then our feet begins to sink. He says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, oh, disciples, come out here and save me. No, he didn't call that crowd. They didn't get out of the boat with him. He says, oh, Lord, save me. Now, he's not talking about a spiritual salvation like we talk about being saved. He's talking about a physical salvation. I'm going to drown. I've got out here in the middle of the water, and I'm sinking. I know why I'm sinking. Because I took my eyes off of the Lord. I know why the problem is there. There's not a problem that comes to us most of the time if it's a result of our disrespect to the Lord or our sin in our life. We know why we're sinking. We know why the problems come to us. And old Peter, he knew why he was sinking. He took his eyes off the Lord, and now he says, Lord, save me. He knew who to pray to. Peter had great faith. Peter's faith ended in failure at that moment. He became weak. His feet began to sink. And going down, he cried, Lord, save me. And going down, we better know who to cry to. That group in the boat, they couldn't help him. They probably not. Could even hear him. He's out in the midst of the sea. He's going to where the Lord is. His intention is to get right where Jesus is. And he fails. So we see his faith, we see his failure. Well, I like this part. We see his friend. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31, I like the word immediately. The Lord didn't let Peter suffer. He didn't let Peter wonder. He didn't let Peter say, is he going to do it? Jesus didn't let Peter say, I guess I've gone too far and I'm sinking. Oh no. Immediately. When the disciple Peter called out upon the Lord for him to save him, he saved him. immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. You know where he caught him? He caught him on the way down. There's a song in our songbook that fits this pretty good. If I can. There's Peter knew who to call because Peter knew he is his friend. It's been said everybody needs a friend and everybody needs to be a friend, personally speaking. Every one of us in here today, we need friends. And just as much as I need friends, I need to be somebody's friend. But Peter, as he begins to sink, he says, "Lord, save me." The old song says, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. None else could heal all my soul's diseases. No friend like him is so high and holy, and yet no friend so meek and lowly. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. Did ever saint flee this friend forsaken him? Oh, sinner, find that he would not take him." Last verse says, "Was ever a gift like the Savior given? Will he refuse us a home in heaven?" And the course says, "No, not one." Is there a friend like him? No, there's not one, just Jesus. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I'm glad this morning Peter's friend is my friend. The scripture says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've said this a lot of times. I do not know the bond of a brother or a sister. But I can take the verse and to realize that Jesus will stick closer than your closest friend. Peter's prayer says, "Lord, save me." Notice the power of the Lord, verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased." Doesn't give us any time frame there. Peter begins to sink. And the Lord said, "What happened to your faith?" I'll tell you what happened, just like all of us. Circumstances. Problems. Fear. "What made you doubt, Peter? I told you to come." And he catches him on the way down. And I don't know how far they were from the ship. Doesn't tell us. But I believe they both walked right back to the ship on the water. I'm glad there's not anything impossible with God. Everything is possible with him. He immediately saves him, and they come into the ship. They've got back to the other disciples that's out there saying, "I knew he shouldn't have done that." I can just hear them. But when the Lord gets on board, notice what it says. "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Now notice what they do. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him. Everything in the life and the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ is just to get us to the place where we can worship the Lord. He just wants our fellowship. He doesn't want us just spinning our wheels. Jesus wants our fellowship. We're his children. He's our friend. Friends like to be with what? Friends. We want fellowship. And when they come and when they entered into the boat, they worshiped him. They say, of a truth. Just it's true. Jesus, you're the Son of God. In the next verse, they went over to the other side. You know what they did? They accomplished the will of God that he had told them to do on the other side to go. Struggles, problems, difficulties, yes. Peter, come out here. The will of God. Struggles, problems. But they got back in the ship. They worshiped the Lord. He is God. And they go to the other side. Just exactly what he wanted them to do when we first began our chapter. Jesus is needed when my faith fails. I'm glad he can come walking on the water to Peter. But I'm glad he can come walking in my heart. He can come into my mind. He can come into my life. And I know his presence. I don't have to hear his voice. I have his word. I don't have to see him, for I have already seen by faith he is the Son of God. And I'm glad when I falter and fail, he's needed, and he comes immediately. He didn't put it off. He didn't torture Peter. Now, he could have. He said, sink a little more, Peter. You've got out here and you've done so many things. You've said so many. Just go ahead and go under once or twice. I'll get you on the third time up. No, Jesus immediately, as he went down, he said, let's go back to the ship. Jesus is needed. When my faith becomes weak, he's needed when your faith falters and fails. And I'm so glad there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Let's stand together this morning.